I'm Tracy Ellis, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. Governor Inslee signed a Democrat bill that he says creates the roadmap and tools for Puget Sound Energy to get out of the natural gas business. What does that mean? Senator Chris Gildon joins me now. So, Senator, what does this new law do?
Well, the new law requires Puget Sound Energy to create and develop a plan and submit it to the Utilities and Transportation Committee by 2027 in order to phase out usage of natural gas. Now, I will say that there's been a lot of controversy about this particular bill. Proponents of it say it is a planning bill that allows Puget Sound Energy to begin the planning process to phase out natural gas. Others have called it a ban on natural gas. But I really think that the semantics of all of this don't really matter, whether you call it a ban on natural gas or you call it a legislative directive to implement, to create and implement a plan to stop providing natural gas. The end result is going to be the same, Tracy, and that is natural gas will be going away for customers of Puget Sound Energy.
What does that mean for those customers?
Well, I think it has some wide-ranging effects, quite honestly, and a lot of people won't know about them until, you know, the plan actually starts becoming executed. But what it's going to mean for people in literal terms is once the plan goes into effect, and it will go into effect, Tracy, because once Puget Sound Energy creates the plan and submits it to the UTC for approval, remember now that every member of the UTC is appointed by the bill's biggest proponent, and that's Governor Inslee. So I don't think that their plan is going to have any problem being approved by the UTC. But once it is approved, people are going to have to start converting from natural, clean natural gas to electricity. That means they're going to have to replace their gas water heaters, their gas furnaces, their gas stoves. They're going to have to upgrade electrical panels to handle the increased demand for electricity inside of their home. If they live in older homes, they're going to have to upgrade from that knob and tube wiring to more modern wiring. This is going to have huge costs to consumers who are already cost burdened by just the normal cost of living in our state. The Building Industry Association of Washington says this is going to cost on average about $40,000 per home to do the conversion. And I'll add, this is not just going to affect homeowners, Tracy. This is going to have a huge effect on renters all across the Puget Sound area, because if a housing provider has to put $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 into the conversion of their home from natural gas to electricity, they've obviously got to recoup those costs, most likely in the form of higher rents. So one of the things that really bugs me in the legislature, you know, and I've spent a lot of my career, 23 years in the military, and I have 5 deployments overseas to combat. So not a lot here in Olympia gets me frustrated. But when I hear legislators say that they support something, in this case, affordable housing, and then they espouse policies that are in direct contradiction to that, that really gets my blood boiling, because this is obviously a policy that increases the cost of home ownership, it increases the cost of rent, and it puts a burden on people who are already struggling to make ends meet.
And we haven't even gotten to rates yet. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in extra cost to consumers, and we haven't even talked about the rate hikes that will come with this, likely, not just natural gas rates, but also electricity rates, which I don't completely understand. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. So the way that it works is Puget Sound Energy is going to begin increasing their rates in anticipation of this plan being passed. The reason that they're going to increase their rates is because they have to start building additional infrastructure to handle the increased demand for electricity. So before they can start removing the gas, the prudent thing for them to do is to build out their electrical infrastructure so they can provide the amount of power that's going to be needed whenever the gas gets turned off. So in anticipation of that, Puget Sound Energy estimates the cost of electricity is going to increase about 37%, and natural gas, while you can still get it, is going to go up about 151% until it's eventually phased out one community at a time.
And these are, for people who understand the term regressive, it means it hurts people at the lower end of the economic spectrum harder than it does people at the higher end. I mean, this is a regressive rate increase, right?
Absolutely, it's a regressive rate increase. You know, I think about a constituent that I met just a couple of years ago named Evelyn. She's a dear senior citizen woman. Her and her husband had lived in their house, the same house, all of their married life. And he had passed away just a couple of years before I met her. And so she was living on Social Security. And her issue at the time was she didn't know how she was going to be able to pay for her property taxes, which keep going up year after year. But that's another regressive tax that we look at. So whenever I consider bills like this, Tracy, I've got to think, how is this going to affect people like Evelyn? Is Evelyn going to be able to stay in her house that she and her husband lived in all of their lives and paid off? Or is this going to force Evelyn out of her house? And I think that bills such as these, which are clearly regressive in nature, they hurt people all across our area, in my district and all across the state, because they are so regressive. And that's another thing that just gets me. I said it again a minute ago. But when legislators say that they support affordability and they support policies that increase affordability in our state, and then they also support bills such as this 1589, the Puget Sound Energy gas ban bill, you can't do both. And I think intellectual honesty in politics ought to mean for something.
Talking with Senator Chris Gildon about this bill that Governor Inslee signed, that the governor himself says creates the roadmap and tools for Puget Sound Energy to get out of the natural gas business. You hit on this a little bit earlier. Some people say, well, this isn't a natural gas ban, but the governor is basically saying that it is, right?
The way I consider it is I consider it to be a legislative directive to develop and implement a plan to stop using natural gas, and which the plan is de facto approved because every member of the commission who approves it is appointed by the governor.
So it's going to happen.
It's going to happen unless, I will say, that word gets out about this and the people across Washington start crying out and let their voices be heard in opposition to this particular initiative. It's law right now, but if enough people stand up with enough voices loudly enough, we can get this law overturned.
Now, this particular bill impacts just Puget Sound Energy, but do you see this expanding to other utilities at some point?
Absolutely. The good idea fairy never rests. And certainly this bad policy will be seen by other utility providers. And they will see this as a way to get around some of the increased costs that they've seen since the Climate Commitment Act has taken place. And I think they will use this as a roadmap for themselves in order to reduce their costs and increase profits.
That's an interesting point, because when this first came out, I asked myself, why does Puget Sound Energy want this? Providing natural gas is a good business for them. They don't want to hurt their customers. Yet they support this bill. It really comes down to the Climate Commitment Act, doesn't it? They're trying to figure out a way to offset some of those costs. Is that what this is really all about?
I think that lies at the base of the whole argument is the Climate Commitment Act resulted in increased costs for utility providers. And they're looking at a way to get around some of those increased costs. We saw, just over last summer, the cost of each one of those carbon credits was about triple the amount that was initially expected. It was incredibly high, creating an incredibly high cost on these utilities and their businesses. They have to get by. So I think they're trying to find ways to get around that. And this is probably one of the ways that they're looking at trying to reduce their own costs and stay viable.
Will it help the environment? I mean, that's the argument that the Democrats who support this bill are making, that this is needed to help the environment. Will it?
Well, you know, we heard speeches on the Senate floor about how if this bill is not passed, that there will be no more snow in the mountains and the fish will die off and the, you know, the sea levels will rise and all of this hyperbole. But if you look at it on a grand scale, Washington State produces about 0.2% of all the carbon emissions worldwide. If we reduce our carbon footprint by a little bit, it's not going to have a huge effect on the entire world climate. And I will say also, you know, let's look at what some of the successes that we've had in Washington State. We have some of the cleanest energy anywhere, Tracy. If you look, if clean energy were a sport, we would likely be the world champions. I mean, we have the hydroelectric dams on the Snake River. We've got all of this clean energy. And yet, rather than, you know, applauding the successes that we've had, is this never-ending drumbeat. It seems like some of the politicians in Olympia say that there is no cost too high and no benefit too small for them to achieve, and so long as you're paying for it.
And there is a concern that if we eliminate natural gas, and there have been talks about eliminating some of these dams, that the increased demand for electricity, especially as more electric cars, which are also mandated by the state government, get on the roads, this demand for electricity, it's going to be pretty difficult to meet that demand with the current infrastructure, right? I mean, are we prepared for an all electricity future?
You know, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because just a side story is, as we were on the Senate floor debating this particular bill, I'm a Puget Sound Energy customer myself. I got an email from Puget Sound Energy during the debate on this bill asking me to lower my thermostat because they were having peak demand time and they needed to ask people to reduce their energy usage. That was current day during the debate on the bill. I can't imagine what it would be like once we do the conversion. You know, will we have brownouts? Will we have blackouts? I don't know. I will say that the Senate Republicans offered them an amendment on the floor that said Puget Sound Energy cannot shut off the gas until the electrical infrastructure was sufficient to meet demand and prevent blackouts and brownouts. That amendment was defeated by the Senate Democrats. And I'll also say, you mentioned electric vehicles and then the push to breach the Snake River dams. How can a politician with a straight face support both of those policies, Tracy? How can someone say we are going to decrease our electric capability by breaching the Snake River dams, and we're going to also simultaneously increase demand by having electric vehicles and all electric vehicle fleet by 2035 by shutting off clean natural gas? I don't see how a politician can say that with a straight face, and the people ought to know about that.
Finally, I just wanted to touch on this. We've been focused a lot on talking about residential customers, and that, you know, that's where a lot of this impact is going to be felt by these homeowners and renters. But this is also has the potential to really hurt businesses too, because a lot of businesses out there depend on natural gas, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Think about the restaurants that you go to, teriyaki or whatever it may be. A lot of them are located in a little strip mall. I was talking to a developer the other day, and he's working a deal with a pizza place here in the Pierce County area. And right now, the electric capability coming from the pole to the business is about 1/3 the capacity that it would have to be if they were to go to all electric. In order to increase that demand, they have to put new wiring from the poles outside into their business. Tracy, that comes at about $90,000 per business. That's just bringing the electricity in that's going to be required. And then another thing that nobody's really talking about, we heard from a lot of schools this last year that their operating expenses have gone up and the state's not providing sufficient dollars for them to fully fund all of their operating costs. Tracy, once this bill takes effect, even before this bill takes effect, electric rates are going to go up, gas rates are going to go up, which means schools' operating costs are going to go up. And then once it takes effect, it's going to go up even more because schools also will have to transition away from clean natural gas to pure energy. So all of, you know, their hot water heaters, their HVAC, all of their equipment is going to have to be replaced as well. How much additional cost is this going to bring to schools, to local government business buildings? Are there going to be additional taxes that are going to be need to be levied to cover the cost of all those additional expenses? Time will tell.
The effects really ripple throughout the entire economy, don't they?
Absolutely. This thing has tentacles that are wide and far reaching.
That's Senator Chris Gildon, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis.